When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to Own the Feels. I know that you've missed us, but this is brought to you in partnership with Love Better. It's the podcast where we're doing our damnedest to help us all break up better, which means owning whatever we're feeling and learning how to deal with it. So for the next part of this season, we are joined by Belle, who you all know and love. Belle chimes into our weekly newsletter every Wednesday, and she writes our Sunday newsletter, and she talks about, honestly, she talks about breakups, she talks about love, life, losing, getting through it, having a who cares moment. Just, she's just an ocean of knowledge on how to exist in the world, which, you know, we need on this podcast, because as good as I am, I'm not an ocean, I'm about a lagoon of knowledge. Belle's got a few more years on me, do you mind me saying that? Not many. And before we actually got on the podcast, we tried to figure out the soundtrack to this recording sesh, and we landed on Silver Springs, Fleetwood Mac, in particular the bridge. So we're really channeling
In particular the bridge.
Don't know if you know, we're in a band. Anyway, Belle, we're talking about breakups today. Mm. We're talking about breakups for the next few weeks. Mm. Lucky us. And we probably should start with your relationship stories or your sort of breakup experiences, if you wouldn't mind divulging.
Like how I'm qualified in matters of the heart.
Incredibly so.
Firstly, like honestly, this is one of my deep passions to talk about. Not because I love heartbreak. I think it is close to the worst feeling in the world, but because I think it reveals so much about ourselves and how we feel about ourselves and how we felt about someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's how we phoenix out of like terrible situations and ways in which we feel like we've lost ourselves. I feel like when we come out the other side of it, we're like the best version of who we can possibly be. Not without huge life-shattering, devastating pain and confusion along the way. I was like laughing about how to introduce myself on this podcast because it's such a funny way to qualify yourself with how many relationship failures you've had.
No, honestly, at least you have relationships that have failed.
Or, I don't know, also like, have they failed or did they just run their course? I would sort of love to argue the latter.
That's the own the feels way.
Yeah.
That is the healed way.
Yeah.
Good work. You've listened to the first six eps.
It's the enlightened way. No, I'm kidding. But it kind of is. And like, actually I read that from an Alain de Botton book, which was just like, we treat relationships ending like huge failures and crises. And yes, sometimes they are, but what if they're just the ends of chapters? And that was like the most useful piece of knowledge when I have had all kinds of breakups. I've fallen in love with foreigners and moved to the other side of the world. I've been stalked at work. I've been living with someone and broken up and standing in an empty apartment holding an internet router, like wondering who the fuck is going to take it home with them. I've had that like dizzy, life-changing first love that alters you in a way you don't quite conceive then. And I've had like unresolved romantic like kind of trysts or endeavors that like, you know, have kind of ebbed and flowed throughout my life. So I would love to say like a gorgeous kaleidoscope of romantic failures and endeavors. Some good, some horrific. Here we are to tell the story.
She's our expert, everyone. Honestly, as much as I think I know about things, Belle often knows 20 times more via lived experience. So I'm sorry you've had to go through that kaleidoscope, but unfortunately, listeners are going to really thrive out of yours.
I love being able to use that to help other people, Phoenix, because yeah. I feel like in a breakup, you are just in, well, the worst ones I've had, you're just completely out of your body and in such a stage of grief that speaking to people who've been through something similar or have a hot take or are calm and wise are just like absolute gold in that moment and often help you, Phoenix, out of it.
And that is us today.
And that tonight, Matthew, that is us.
And so today we are talking about situationships and situationship breakups because they're very common and I feel like very confusing because how do you reconcile, you know, the aftermath of a relationship that none of you had labeled was actually a proper relationship? You sort of, I feel like you're kind of questioning whether you can grieve it or whether you're meant to just be really chill about it. So you all, bless your souls, had a lot of situationship stories, which as always help us guide these episodes. I will never get over how generous you all are. But before we get into your stories, I thought feels ironic to define something that doesn't want a label.
Oh my God, so good, yeah.
But I thought we'd give some definitions. I love this one from Urban Dictionary. Let's just chill, have sex, and be confused on the fact that we are not together but have official emotions for each other.
Oh my God, no, this absolutely sends me. And it's like, why can't we? It's just like being afraid to commit. And I think we can get into this later, but I feel like the world in which we live now is so digital and ephemeral yes. and like next, maybe something's better. I can go home and swipe on my phone and probably connect with someone in a better way. And
yes.
this like fear of like taking the leap.
I know. And it just, we will get into this later, but the idea that, but what if they're not the best option?
Oh, that
kills me. So now we have a bit more of an ish definition. This is from Jess Carbino, who's actually got a PhD, so great to have an expert on here. No offense.
I'm taking all good.
She's a former sociologist for Tinder and Bumble? For Tinder and Bumble. And she says, situationships can be defined as a romantic relationship that lacks commitment in the associated norms and expectations. So that's like, you're kind of in a relationship, but you don't do all the normal relationship things. You sort of just sleep with each other.
Yeah, you just turn up at like 8:30 after work with some Vietnamese food and make out and go to sleep.
Yeah.
But you don't
talk about your day.
Yeah, maybe. But you don't have to like meet their family
yeah.
or like go to Briscoe's with them and buy like linen or yeah. like do the boring stuff that often makes a relationship feel really domestic.
Yeah. And then we have this one from Time Magazine, which Ooh. Is just a funny place to get a situationship definition. Somewhere between great love and no strings attached lies a category of relationship that needs a bit more defining. It's emotionally connected, but without commitment or future planning. The labels boyfriend and girlfriend don't really apply, but it's way beyond a casual hookup. It includes going on dates, having sex, and building intimacy without a clear objective in mind. Enter situationship. That's an interesting one because they say that there's no future planning in that one. And it kind of makes sense because the situationship is the classic 3 a.m. you up text,
it
right?
It is. It's the reply guy. It's
yes.
the like, I'm just kind of seeing someone.
Or,
it's like.
Or it's the like, you are so fun. Like, why are you not in a relationship?
Yeah, it's crazy that no one's chosen you yet. Wild. But do you want to make out? It's also like if you free yourself from the fear of planning for the future. It's like, oh, I don't care if they see me yoga in my like sweaty yoga gear because
yeah.
like I don't care if they don't like me that much. It's like really self-protective sort of relationships, hey?
Which should be like, that should be what you do if you want a big
time.
Future with them. Like
yeah.
you should. But it's interesting that we set these boundaries for ourselves to self-protect when we're like not fully confident. And especially when we're young though, at high school, the worst thing ever would have been someone that you were interested in, whether it was a relationship or a situationship, catching you at a time where you just weren't prepared. And that's because we were all just figuring
totally
out.
Had that.
Yeah. It's like, don't see him in the supermarket with my mum.
I die a thousand times. But also, like, I would argue there's a flip side to it. And I've had a situationship before that was, like, very fun, very, like, just, I don't know, exactly what we both needed. They, I think, wanted more, and I was just not in the right place in my life. So I would say they're not all bad, but I also think when you enter something with someone, whatever scope it is, you're like two lines traveling forward together, and to deny yourselves of the fact that you're moving into a future is like to completely ignore the fact that inevitably a decision will have to be made as to whether you keep going or not.
And I think that that decision and that communication around that decision is something that we've talked about a lot in the first six episodes about if you're feeling like you're about to ghost someone or you're about to be ghosted, although that's sort of against the point of ghosting, you don't really know that it's coming.
You have a premonition.
Go and listen to those episodes and take it like a champ. Have those chats. Don't just leave someone hanging, especially someone that you've like had a situationship with. And even if you haven't wanted to romantically connect with, you probably have.
Yeah.
But I thought to help us begin this episode, we would just read a story of a textbook situationship breakdown from one of the listeners. Just so you all know, it's not just me and Belle's takes on all of these things. You all
imagine.
Feel the same.
Yeah.
Okay, so this person said, we were hanging out four nights per week. They met my parents. We'd been seeing each other for about 6 months and they still wouldn't call me their partner. Listen, if a label is too much to ask, then the relationship isn't going to give you what you need. These behaviours won't change when you become official. Be honest with yourself and know your own worth. When someone is showing you who they are and how they feel, listen and believe them. So what I make of this one is it was a situationship to one party.
Yes.
The other party maybe wanted more and there was no communication.
Yes. There's like the storyline of like two friends rom-com of all time, right?
Yeah.
I think they have like such clarity about this situation.
Yeah.
Lol. At the end, which is just, and I think it kind of relates to what I was saying before, where you're both moving into a future and if one of you isn't into it, then it will always create an imbalance.
And then you have to realize that it's better that it stopped. You actually didn't want, like this person has, they weren't going to give you what you ever wanted.
No, and just like not being official with you when like 4 nights a week is a lot.
I know, meeting the parents, that's like not situationship territory.
I can't even work out, go to the gym, do anything 4 nights a week.
No. So fair enough, and really great that that person has come through that, learned the lesson. Now that we know what a situationship is, something that we were wondering as we were sort of writing these scripts, Belle and I, was why suddenly situationships are everywhere. And obviously it's because situationship as a label has come around to something Belle and I love, sort of put a name to something that we were all doing for years, you know. The world has been having situationships. We just probably haven't been calling it situationships. So we, again, I'm going to validate you all here. This is what we did a lot in the first few episodes. We've grown up seeing movies like Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached. There was actually like probably a period of 2 years where there was multiple movies that you couldn't distinguish between.
No.
Like what one was Justin Timberlake in? I'm not sure.
Which two like white heterosexual lead characters were playing like fraught, kind of wealthy, but can't deal with their emotions.
Hate each other, but they're just going to fuck because it's primal.
Yeah. And he turned up to her house with a cake at the end and it was crazy.
Yes. So these people in these movies and pop culture and things like that showed us that all these people were too busy for a relationship, but they craved romantic connection and they would do these sort of no strings attached arrangements and surprise, surprise, end up falling in love. It was all quite confusing, but also at the same time quite textbook.
John Mayer plays in the background.
Oh, Christ. Slow dancing in a burning room.
Into me.
And then also something that Belle and I just discussed earlier was that we have grown up in an age where online dating has become huge. I don't really think I need to explain that to anyone that online dating exists. And I feel like, especially when I was at uni, finding someone to just hook up with or sleep with or whatever, it was just happening everywhere. It was so easy. You could just swipe, 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 go on a night out, and then go home with someone. And but what, and I thought about this, I remember a few years ago, watching my friends go on dating apps and thinking about this thing called the paradox of choice, doesn't just pertain to this situation. The paradox of choice is where you have too many choices that you're basically stuck and you can't make a single decision. And so, for example, and I use this one a lot, if you really needed jam and you went to the supermarket and there was only strawberry or blueberry, you'd probably find it quite easy to know which one you were feeling like having.
Yeah, totally.
But you need jam, right? You go to the supermarket, there's blackberry, blueberry, mixed berry, raspberry, strawberry.
Fusion berry.
No, and you just, there's too many decisions that often you're like, I actually don't want that. I'm going to go get a Nutella instead. Yes. Because it's too hard to make a decision. And so I sort of feel like with dating, we're finding it too hard to make a decision because we're so scared of not picking the right one that this paradox of choice means that we just can't decide. And so situationships are like, well, I'll have you and then I'll have you.
I'll have you for now. I'll have like a little tiny bit of jam here and a different jam next week.
Yes.
I also think it's funny that you mentioned that I was older than you. Not, I'm like, how much? Like 5 years older than you. But I think I grew up just before, as in when I was at uni, dating apps weren't invented.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think we had Uber. Man, I sound so old.
You didn't have Uber Eats.
No, Uber. I don't think Uber existed when I was at uni. So I kind of came of age where the best place to meet people was in bars.
Yeah,
and the energy was like quite, as I say, horny and romantic in that way, because you didn't have that sort of thing in the back of your mind of, oh, I can just go home and swipe in my bed.
Or if they swiped on my best friend. And
There was totally none of that. And so there was more of a feeling of serendipity and, well, there's this like cute person at the bar. If I don't talk to them now, I might not ever talk to them again. So it felt more like real life living.
Yes.
And what sort of growing up and through my 20s as dating apps came about, it's been so interesting to really feel that mentality shift of lots more jams on the supermarket shelf. How can I choose?
And having that fear of commitment because you could be on a date and they could be swiping when you go to the bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
And
I
so
just hate that idea.
I feel like it just makes so much sense. One, why we're getting scareder and scareder, not good English there, Luz, to get into relationships, and why situationships feel like the best option, because it seems like all the fun without the commitment, but it does mean when you break up from them, it's just very confusing and very hard to navigate, and you're like a ship at sea without a compass. I don't know if that's without a sail.
That was really good. I loved that analogy. I also think like if you have a formal relationship, you're allowed to grieve, and there are all these like dumb social rules around like you are allowed to be sad for as many months you were together or whatever, like those dumb kind of like
milestones. It's like the seven stages of grief, right?
Totally.
That's not how it works.
But if you don't have, like, if they didn't meet your friends, or if they weren't at your birthday dinner, or if they, like, no one really knew about it, then when you end it, you don't have those, like, formal measures of processing.
And it makes it so much harder to, one, know what you're feeling, what you think you're allowed to feel. Maybe your friends didn't even know about the situationship, or they thought, well, that person wasn't good for you anyway because they never committed. It comes with a whole lot. It can be harder. It comes with a whole lot more confusing feelings.
Yes, totally.
And so a few things that also make situationships quite confusing when they come to an end is that I feel like when you're in them, they're so spontaneous that you're actually constantly waiting for this could end at any time.
Yes.
So maybe
there's
a really high level of anxiety or trying to squeeze in as much when you think you've got them.
Yes.
And so then it feels like, oh my God, but we did so much together.
And it's electric. And you're just,
it's honeymoon.
It's a real who cares moment. It's honeymoon. Like I mentioned, it's like not dealing with each other's washing or each other's family dynamics and so it kind of strips all of the like real lifeness out of a relationship.
And that's the opposite of what I just said was the reason it's so hard is because it could end at any point. But also the reason a lot of people get into these situationships is because the unpredictability of it and the fireworks and the spontaneousness is really attractive to a lot of people. Yeah. And so there's reasons for getting into situationships, kind of don't hate that, into situationships. And there's obviously reasons for having anxiety while you're in them. And I feel like now we're ready to maybe visit some audience stories and see how their situationships ended and maybe what we can learn from them, or at least our hot takes on these stories. So the first one is when a situationship has ended and the book doesn't feel finished.
Oof.
They stringed me along, but I let them. I romanticized them. I was infatuated with them. I was in love with the idea of them, but not actually them. In the 3 years that I knew them, I barely spent any time with them. We never went on a date. We spoke a lot, mostly online or by text, for weeks on end, texting every day. We circled each other over and over, but never stopped with each other. So my mind had time to make up things, to fill in the story, to make myself believe I was in love and that they were lovely and that we were meant to be together. I romanticized longing for them, longing for a time we could be in the same place at the same time, finally able to be together. Finally, when we were living in the same place, then it would work. But that would never have actually happened. The odd thing about it is it sort of feels like the book didn't get finished. Someone read half of it and put it face down, forgot to finish the rest. I think that's why I kept thinking about it for so long. There was no real ending, no satisfying finale. It just fizzled. They grew up and so did I. We haven't spoken in years, and yet I still occasionally think about them. I wonder what they're up to, and I wonder if I'll ever see them again. It's odd how much I longed for something more than I ever have for someone I barely knew.
Oh my God, this is just such an ache for me to hear, because I just think it's such a trap that we fall into, romanticizing the love story. And it's actually something I've really noticed as I get older. If I meet someone and there's like a bit of a vibe, being really careful about who I tell.
Yes.
Because immediately people are like, oh my God, it's a sign. Oh my God, they sound amazing. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
The other version of you.
Yeah. Two souls. Meet.
We should definitely not date then.
Yeah. Abort mission. Yeah. But I think that there's such a danger in romanticizing the story, and I've been so guilty of it. And that's what, isn't that what we've been taught romance and love or crushing is? So it's such a human, like natural human trait you should never like beat yourself up about. But I also think this is such a trap that we can fall into with technology and messaging so easily at our disposal. And like, I'm a hyper communicator, you're a hyper communicator. It's our love language.
Yeah.
Like, and so someone with great chat and attention is like really horny for me. I really like love that. But I think, again, fantasizing things can be such a danger just because someone can fire you like an on-point DM and send you like crack-up content and make you feel seen through a virtual world doesn't mean that that's ever going to translate into reality.
Which we're actually talking about in the next episode, everyone, how to deal with online breakups.
Can't wait. Lots to say about that. I think we also have been brought up to believe that there's like some moment that will change everything, where everything clicks and becomes right, when actually in reality there's a specific set of circumstances that you need in order for things to work. Both of you to agree, feel the same and agree on like taking a leap into like an unknown future together. So I feel like the biggest lesson here is to force your crushes into real life. Forces maybe like sounds a bit intense, but like I think it sounds a bit harsh, but it's true. Like, where are these people when you need them?
Yes.
Are they consistent? It's very easy to be that like meow late night text, hey, what you up to, or that like vision of who you think you could be for one another, but where are they when they need you? And I think it's like if you've ever crushed on someone and like only been together in private, and then the true test is bringing them to dinner with your friends or like seeing them in real life situations where you aren't like made up and perfect or firing off like great chat lines through DMs, but actually like feeling that in real life is so important.
Yes. And I also think there's a danger and especially when you're young and sort of you maybe you can't even drive yet and you can't do all these fun things and all you have is your imagination, is their lack of communication to you isn't a chance or shouldn't be a chance for you to fill in the gaps and make up the story.
That's
but it's what we all do. Like, they're not responding to you gives you basically the green light to be like, well, they're not responding because they're doing this and they're thinking about this and they're nervous about this, which means they really like me. And
which means we're meant to be.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we all create narratives in our heads, narratives in our heads that don't often line up with real life. And that can make the breakup just that much more devastating because you're actually mourning something that didn't exist.
Oh my gosh, totally. And you're also left navigating what was real and what was a story you made up in your mind. And then you can just absolutely ruin yourself by going back through hordes of messages and trying to read subtext into them. And I think that's the danger of like having a real message-based like situationship as well.
So the advice of bringing them into real life and also the advice of not using the gaps in communication to write your own stories. Mm. Maybe I feel like they're two like sort of little nuggets of wisdom, right?
Are they also
good work, Belle?
Are they also Taylor Swift songs?
Nuggets of Wisdom by Taylor Swift, Taylor's version. And so if you have been in a situationship and you're struggling to get closure, which is often the biggest sort of issue when trying to reconcile the breakdown of a situationship, we do have some actual helpful tips for you. Maybe take what you want, leave what doesn't fit. First of all, you're actually allowed to call it a breakup.
Totally.
You just need to validate whatever you're feeling. And especially like what Belle said before, if you haven't brought them into your real life, your friends can't validate that for you. Mm. You have to do it yourself. And you also have to recognize something that I've just sort of talked about, recognize that you are breaking up with a fantasy that you may have had. And so that's the whole, you've written a story that maybe didn't exist or should never have gone to print. Also know that all of, and this is something that we say all the time, none of this is a reflection of you or your own self-worth. Perhaps it was just that neither of you had learned how to communicate what you truly wanted, or maybe you just didn't know.
Totally.
But don't put it all on yourself. Especially if they had bad behaviour.
Or especially if you were just like predominantly messaging and not really hanging out in real life.
Yes. And then how to move forward from the breakdown of a situationship like this. I feel like it's exactly what we've just been saying, is learning how to talk about what you want, or actually learning from yourself what you want, what you need, what your priorities are when you begin talking. You don't have to come on hot and heavy and like, have swiped on someone and be like, yeah, kids in 2 years.
Yeah. TikTok, I'm thinking 3 dates and then you meet my family.
Yeah. But also, if you do come across like that, then they know exactly what they're getting into. Yeah. They know you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My friends and I call it elephant in the rooming, which is just like saying the like kind of awkward things like very early on and straight up, which is just like, so I hate it when you don't reply to me for 7 hours and you leave me on scene. Don't like that. I really like this. This is like, this is the type of gal I am to hang out with.
Yes.
And these are my expectations.
This thing happened in my family, so if you bring up that, just know I'm going to react weirdly. Like, elephant in the rooming is actually really good. Like, laying your cards on the table.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean,
again, obviously don't trauma dump on them.
Yeah, no, super against that. And also, like, protect your mystery and protect, like, what's important to you. And as you slowly get to know someone, obviously that's up to you. But I have found it a really liberating thing, dating, as I, again, have gotten older and learned these lessons, which is just like, cool, so this is my vibe.
Yeah.
And are you into it or not? Or good if not.
It's all about knowing yourself a bit more, which truly does just come with getting older and going through things like this. And also, another thing that we should probably note is that it is okay to ask what went wrong or what happened, because how are you supposed to move forward and take lessons into your next, hopefully, relationship, not situationship, if you don't know what happened? So you are allowed to ask. If they don't respond, then you have to like radically self-accept that some people just aren't going to be able to give you that.
Oh, and closure is so tricky. One of the best things I've learned about closure, particularly in the context of breakups, is that you can't rely on the other person or people to give you that closure. That's something you have to get to within yourself. And I think we can like drive ourselves a bit crazy expecting this really gallant moment of someone kind of expressing their remorse for things they've done or like giving you the closure that you really want. You have to get to that yourself.
Yeah. And again, we talk about how to get that in a lot of our earlier episodes. So if you're trying to figure out what you can do for you that doesn't put any energy into them, I would say go and listen to the revenge episode. It's really good, if I don't say so myself. Right, I think it's time for another audience story.
Please.
Because every time we start talking about ourselves too much, I'm like, remind the people again, not just us. Last semester, I started hanging out with someone, and very early on, we established that I didn't want a relationship. They did, and when I asked if they still wanted to hang out with me and not put labels on anything, they said yes. The whole reason was because A, I'm extremely picky with people, and B, I was going to study abroad in the spring, and C, I just wasn't there to be in a relationship. Anyway, they kept saying that they wished I wasn't going to move, and I was really over it. When I got to Europe, the only conversations we had, they initiated, and then I essentially ghosted them until they sort of got the clue that I wasn't into it. But around the time that they thought I was supposed to be due home, they re-entered my life and they were commenting on all my B-reels. They didn't text me because they didn't have my abroad number, but they contacted me on just about everything else. So I'm just going to keep ghosting them, but it's so odd how people always keep coming back to you even after literal months. This one's hard because it was a situationship that one party obviously felt like they didn't owe the other a conversation as to why it was ending. Well, they kind of gave it at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
They didn't want the relationship. They were moving overseas.
Props to that transparency up front.
And then maybe they could have just said that again at the end when they moved away instead of sort of ghosting. We have a whole episode on ghosting and the other options you can do instead of that. But in the same breath, the person should have done some work to try and move on from.
Totally. Again, these are like the perils of having of living online.
Yes.
Because it's just like in a gorgeous 70s rom-com about your life, you'd have gone to Europe and like c'est la vie, never seen them again.
No phones. Yeah.
Come back with a fringe and a gorgeous new outfit and not even recognize them in the supermarket. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I think we call that orbiting as well, right? Someone who just like slides into your DMs every like couple of weeks.
Remind you I still exist.
Yeah. Hey, kind of like.
Love the band.
Yeah. Mysterious kind of flirty emoji. Not quite sure how to dissect that. And I mean, yeah, you know our thoughts on ghosting. I personally think it's one of the cruelest things that you can do to someone. But I wonder if like maybe part of their attention on your B-reels and stuff was a little bit validating and a little bit nice. And I can completely relate to that as well. I wonder if like there are opportunities for maybe like keeping on shutting things down. Like, cool, nice to chat to you, but like I'm in Europe and like just need some space. And I think it's really hard to turn down attention and turn down a feeling of connection, especially if you're far away from home. And like kind of annoyed at their persistence. And I think that's totally shows an imbalance of expectations. And also, again, the trappings of like romantic storytelling. Maybe in their mind you were like their big crush who moved to Europe and things weren't quite resolved, where in your mind you were like
I told you that I was moving away and this wasn't life. I really like this story because it's come from the perspective of like it was this person that didn't want the situationship. It wasn't someone writing in being like, I had the situationship, they ghosted me, they did this. It was this person saying, I laid out what I wanted at the beginning and then the other party just didn't really respect that. So I do feel like the one part in this story is that when they moved to Europe and sort of ghosted the person, maybe just one simple conversation could have stopped the persistence. One thing I will also say is we did an episode on stalking earlier in the series. And if you do ever feel like the line is being crossed, we have a lot of great resources in that episode because sometimes it can be hard to know when persistence has turned into like low level online stalking because that does happen. Also, and I feel like this person probably did in real life, and maybe it didn't come across through in the story, but having compassion for the person that, like, for the other person in the situationship that maybe wanted a little bit more.
Totally.
Is quite important, and something you don't learn until you're older as well. You're sort of just like, people are just things that exist to either please me or give me something to talk about.
Yeah, or like, not into it, bye. And I think maybe you grow more compassion if that's happened to you, or if you've sat on the floor of your like friend's bedroom and watched them completely disintegrate from something. So when you have an experience really up close, you have way more compassion for it. But I think that's such a great point. And I remember ending a situationship a couple of years ago and feeling like I had totally devastated someone, which is a feeling I just feel sick about, like, making someone feel. And yeah, I sort of resolved that the nicest or the best thing I could be was compassionate at that time and kind of respect their wishes of cutting comms or...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to navigate.
And then the last tip, it's not really a hot take. It's just once you've had these conversations with the person that you're ending the situationship with, hopefully with compassion, it is okay to cut communication. Just like with any other breakups, you do need to have the conversations, but then you actually do need to cut communication at a certain point. It just helps both of you, especially in the like few months that it's ending.
Oh my gosh. I know. I can't like stress this enough, but also completely understand how difficult it is, especially if you have like a hot messagey relationship.
Yes.
Or just like, it's so easy these days to be like, going to post a cute story.
I know.
Hopefully they
see
reply,
guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, I'm going to reinvent myself and like do a social media campaign just to like prove that I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I think the most graceful thing you can do at the end of something is just like
get out of each other's lives.
Get out of each other's lives. And my friends and I always say, go and make your own secrets.
Yeah.
Go and like
God, your friends need to come on the pod. Seriously.
Am I not enough? No. I'm speaking from the like collective wisdom of a lot of my friends, but I think going in away and making your own secrets has been like a really great, useful thing for me to think about in those like times where I found it really difficult to untether myself from someone, because I'm like, yeah, I need to go away and be me without you. And I can't do that if I'm messaging you drunk every Friday night or letting certain songs remind me of you and messaging you like Spotify playlists or something. And it's so hard. It's so hard.
And especially when it's been a situationship and not even something that you feel like, it's so valid to cut all communications and block you, but it is. This was real. At the end of the day and at the end of the podcast episode, which we're at, this was real. You deserve to feel really shit or really sort of content with your decision or however you are feeling in the moment. If it was you that ended it, hope you've had the conversation.
Yes.
Or if you are sort of in one right now and you're wondering how to get out of it, just take a breath. Hopefully this podcast has sort of landed with you. Some bits have been like, tick, 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 let me do that. You're going to be really compassionate. They're going to really respect you for it in hindsight.
Yes. Oh, hindsight. Gorgeous thing. And then just snip, snip on the comms.
Yeah. And with that, next episode we're talking about online relationships and how we deal with the breakups that come from them, because they're very confusing. And again, there's a huge digital footprint. It can be really hard to untether yourself from an online relationship. But for now, we have a few people to thank. So Own the Feels wouldn't be possible without Love Better and everyone who gave us their stories to bring these podcasts to life. If you are going through a breakup and you need advice or you just want someone to talk to, Youthline New Zealand has set up a dedicated and free Love Better helpline. Just simply email lovebetter@youthline.co.nz or text LoveBetter to 234. And you should do that, because I actually think it's dope that they've set up dedicated places to deal with breakups to help you. I just think that's cool.
It's incredible. I wish I had it in my day.
I know.
I sound 79.
No, but seriously, I think it's really cool. So thank you, LoveBetter.